Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. We'll welcome everyone back to our afternoon. It's noon here. It's probably 2 p.m. In the Central Time Zone, which would be Mississippi and Tennessee, and then in the Eastern Time Zone, that would be Missouri and Atlanta, Georgia, and other parts. And, of course, to the friends in Africa and family in Africa, it is 9 and 10 p.m., and we welcome everyone. We are day two of our celebration. We're celebrating 5 years of Making a Difference. God has been with us. The song says, "I've Got a Testimony." We're going to listen to a little bit more of it. And for those that are out there, and please forgive me, I did not realize the volume was so high. We're going to turn it down for you, and we'll be right back. Listen to just a little bit more of the song. Oh, and Toni Robinson is in the house, and so here we go.
Wait a minute.
Alrighty. Psalm says, I have got a testimony, and we have got an awesome weekend for you. We kicked it off last night with Apostle Vanessa, and if you missed last night, I encourage you to listen to the replay for the sake of time. I had hoped that my friend Joyce would hop on and sing for me, but she is not able to. So I'm just going to release the floor to my friend, to my pastor, Dr. Tony Robinson, and I am so excited to celebrate another year with her. And so we're going to release the floor, and y'all know how she rolls. Sometimes she doesn't have the message right away, but she's got some words of wisdom, and God always gives her the message. So, Tony, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, awesome. Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm excited to be here. Grateful for an opportunity to celebrate what the Lord is doing in another year of accomplishment and achievement, and we don't take it lightly. I'm blessed to see how the ministry is expanding and advancing. I'm even more excited to see where it begins to go into the new year, and how God is reshaping and redefining and remolding and restructuring some things. I see that coming for you and bringing you into even a greater alignment with what the heartbeat of the Father is releasing now over the earth and regarding to advancing the kingdom. So I think it's just going to get more and more amazing, and it's become more and more beautiful. So I'm excited about purpose and being fulfilled. I will not be before you all long today, and at least that's not my intention. I'll just say that. I have a few things that I want to dive into this afternoon, but before I go in, I just want to just enter into prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, this afternoon, and maybe even this evening for people that are other places. I thank you, Father, for just your grace, your love, Father God, that is just so surrounds us because you are love. So, Father, I thank you right now that it's your love that is compelling all men and drawing them to you. So, Father, I thank you right now that you are moving in such a vast way all over the earth. I thank you that revival isn't something that's coming. It's not a far away, but revival is here now, and it's springing up through all of us as your sons and your daughters, as we live to glorify your name and to be your witnesses on the earth, that revival is coming out of us, and it's an unstoppable revival, and that people are coming into the kingdom and stepping into right identity. So I thank you for that because you're good. You're just good. And Father, we bless this conference. We bless this revival. We bless Minister Sophie. And I ask even now, Holy Spirit, that we just acknowledge who you are. We acknowledge who you are right now. We just say, have your way, Holy Spirit, have your way. On this call today, I just thank you right now, Father, for just breathing, Ruach, the breath of God, breathing over this call, over this session, in Jesus' name, amen. The scripture for the conference, the theme of the conference is out of Habakkuk 2 and 2 through 3, and that's, I love that passage. I love it, because it speaks for those that have an ear to hear. And as I begin to just look at this, and this morning, because I really wanted to get the heart of God for this, and it's a scripture that many of us are very familiar with, and it's dealing with writing the vision, making the vision plain. And it says, I'm going to read it here, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because surely it will surely come. It will not tarry. And as I begin to meditate on that and begin to say, okay, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? Because I don't want to just get up and say anything. And give me a heart for this. And so I begin to dig into it and just get still to hear his voice. And I want to talk about the vision. And it says, you know, make the vision plain. And, again, the theme of this conference is overseeing the vision. And so I begin to just – the key words were sticking out at me, which is oversee and then vision. And it's like, okay, well, let's look at – examine what does oversee mean. It means to survey, to watch over, to – supervise, to take care of, and you've been put in charge of something to oversee it and to watch over it, and it's incumbent upon you to make sure it's done properly and things are done in place and done in order and done according to the vision that he's given you. And the definition of vision is the to be able to see. It has a multiple definitions, but we're going to go with this one. And we're going to go, it means to be able to see. And it's also the experience of seeing something in a dream or a supernatural. It's something God has released, something he's caused you to see, something that you did not see before. And what he's caused you to see, he's now causing you to oversee. He's dropped that vision in you, and now he's telling you, he's putting it in your hands to be able to shape and mold that and care for it and nurture it and so that it comes to pass in the order that he's presented it to you. And I begin to look at this thing, and it's like we're overseeing a vision, we're holding this. And this just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it said, I heard that the Lord say, but before you can oversee the vision, you have to know the vision. And before you can know the vision, you have to have a vision. We have to get a vision. And so I want to challenge you all, because especially we're getting ready to end the year. And we're dealing with a lot of ministers, and we're dealing with a lot of ministries. And it's about this time of year we begin to really look at what we're doing in ministry, where we're going. At least we should be. If you're in any form of leadership, we're at that time of year where you should be evaluating what you have done this year. What is the fruit? We're in autumn. It's harvest time. What has your seed produced from the beginning of the year to now? What is your vision? How has your vision come to maturation? How has your vision developed? What's going on? Have you seen growth? Has it produced what you thought it would produce? So we have to really begin to sit down and begin to evaluate those things. And then we have to begin to look at going into the next year. Because as leaders, as ministers, as pastors, as overseers, as bishops, apostles, whatever it is that your role and your kingdom assignment is, when you have vision, vision does not come without planning. It does not come without strategy. Those strategies come from heaven, and it's incumbent upon us to then implement the strategies that's been assigned to us. So we need to be sitting down, and we need to be figuring out and getting in the presence of God. Okay, God, where are we taking the vision for next year? This year is almost out, so what are we doing for next year? And that we're writing those things out, and we're making those things plain. And so we're getting a vision. Because you can't have anything that you have not gotten. And see, and it's important that we get it. And the reason I say that it's important that we get it, because a lot of times and sometimes in ministry, we've all felt a call to minister. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm called to ministry. I feel like I'm called to pastor. I feel like we got a whole lot of feeling going on. But do we have a getting of what we're feeling? And, you know, because some days I feel like I need to get up and eat ice cream at 3:00 in the morning, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what I'm called to do. So we have to begin to get discernment about this thing so that where you guys listen, where we are right now, God is moving so vastly and so amazingly on the earth. And we need to be in our proper position. What exactly is your kingdom assignment? What exactly, okay, you're called to pastor. Okay, well, what are the type of people that you're called to pastor? Where are you called to pastor? Who are you called to lead? How are you called to pastor? And in the past days of old, we would just be like, we got a call and it jumped into something. And then it's like we've been struggling for years trying to figure out why it's not growing or why it hasn't produced what we thought it would and things like that. And we have to go back, excuse me, and sit down and reevaluate this thing. We need to get clarity on what it is that we're exactly called to do and how to do it and who we're called to, because those things are key. Because we don't want to be investing in the wrong season. We don't want to be investing in the wrong crop. We want to make sure we're planted where we're called to plant. Because when you're planted where you're called to plant, you will always see harvest. Always see harvest. So we want to make sure we have got a vision. So when we get the vision and we have that vision, and to have, you know, it's not an English lesson. We're not, but I like words. I like definitions. I like understanding. And it means to possess. It means to hold. It means to experience. It means to undergo. It means you have this thing. And when I'm speaking about we have this thing, I'm not just like, okay, I have it. It's in my hand. I'm possessing this. This is my ministry. This is my work, and we're holding it. No, when I say we have this thing, I mean it's all on the inside of us, to the place where it literally has us more than we have it. For instance, when we say, I have the love of the Father, we're not like, okay, you know, I got the love of God in me. I just have the love. I have the Holy Spirit. And I just have. But no, it's like when that thing is in you to the place where it really has you more than you have it. Where it comes from that place of where we're in Him, that we live and we move and we have our being. Where our being is just, it's not what we do. It's literally who we are. I can do a number of things. I can be a wife. I can do wifehood. I can be a mom. I can do mothering. But it's something about when it shifts to where I step out of from what I do into who it is that I am. By nature, I'm a mother. By nature, it's something in me where I'm just a wife. I love wife. I'm a bride. We're the bride of Christ. It's my nature. So it surpasses what it is that we do to it becomes who we are. It's all up on the inside of us. Okay. And so when we have the vision, when that vision, it's like we have it. God, we got the vision. I got the vision. I got the vision. And another reason why it's important to get this vision and to have it, and it's so that you know where you're going. You know where you're going. It is not just I'm running with a call. It's like, okay, I'm called to go to Africa. Okay, let's just say that I'm called to go to Africa. But what is the purpose am I called to go for? I could be called just to go for vacation, but because I felt the twinge of Africa in my heart, all of a sudden now I think I'm supposed to go there, you know, and do all this stuff. And it's not easy. Minister Sophie will tell you, it's not easy to just jump up and go do work. You have to get clarity on that. Was I supposed to just go on vacation, meet some people, get some divine appointments? Maybe I'm there to connect other people with other people. What are you called there to do? Are you called there for short term? Are you called there for long term? You may only be called there for one time mission assignment and may never go again. We have to get that. That's why we have to get the vision. And it's like when we get it, we have to also have understanding. We have to have understanding. We have to understand what the vision is. We have to get the vision. We have to have the vision. We have to know the vision. Oh, this is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We need to know the vision. No, no, no. No means to, you have a, that thing, I'm going to give you the definition of no. It means to be aware of, to have thought this thing through observation, is to have all the information, is to have developed a relationship and spending time with this thing. A lot of times we have visions that we don't even know. And when I say we don't even know, I'm speaking, how do I best put this? Okay, let's take it like in a little biblical term. Abraham knew Sarah. There's some things that will only be birthed out of intimacy. We need to check our visions. Do I really know my vision? Do I know the vision? I got it. I have it. But do I know it? Because then that makes all the difference in the world, because a vision that was birthed out of intimacy with the Father, that's the vision that changes the world. That's the vision that changes the world, because it was birthed out of a place of intimacy. It was birthed out of a time of in your place of worship, where it was just you and the Father, and you were surrendering your will and no striving and none of all this stuff and it, that comes along with ministry and what our concept of what ministry looks like and what we're called to do and who we're. It's like laying that stuff down and saying, Father, I just want you. And if I don't ever preach, if I don't ever do anything, as long as I have you, it's me and you face to face. It's that time of doing worship. It's that time of prayer. It's in that time where it's just you and him one-on-one. And that seed is planted and is deposited in you. And it's an incorruptible seed. And you know that you know that you know that it came from the Father. It didn't come from somebody saying, you called the pastor. It didn't come from someone saying, oh, you're called to evangelize. You're called to do this. Or, you know, saying, you know, I think you should do this because you're really good with kids. So I think you just need to, you need to be a kids pastor. And we pick that vision up. We don't have a relationship with that vision. We're going by what someone has told us. It sounded good. It looked good. It felt like it was right because, hey, I am really good with kids, so maybe they're right. Maybe this is what I need to go into. And that's, but you don't have a relationship with it because was it born and birthed from the heart of the Father? Some of us are in ministry not because we're called, not because it was birthed from the heart of the Father, but some of us are in ministry because it's a family thing. My daddy was a pastor. My granddaddy was a pastor. My great-granddaddy was a pastor. All my life, I've been groomed and schooled and schooled to be a pastor. So I don't know anything else because they asked what they always told me I was called to do. I know how to do it because I've watched them, and I can preach, I can hoop, I can shout, I can stomp, I can throw my head back, I can raise the audience to their feet and get them shout, tapping, and dancing, but is it what I'm really called to do? Or is that just what the path that I followed because somebody said this is the way to go? It doesn't mean God won't bless it. It doesn't mean heaven can't kiss it. But what I'm asking you is when the thing is birthed from the heart of the Father, how much more blessed will it be? How much more kissed of heaven will it be? Because then you're in the right place. And it will always bear fruit. When a man has been with a woman in an intimate way, and a seed is deposited, you're going to see the fruit of that. Because at the end of 9 months, you're going to see the baby. A baby's going to be born. And that baby's going to begin to, you know, coo, coo, coo. And then blah, blah, blah. Then mama, daddy. Then it's going to be crawling. Then walking and running. And it's going to grow and it's going to develop. And it's going to become a full-grown man, full-grown woman of its own. We'll see the fruit of what was birthed in the place of intimacy. Do you know the vision? It's imperative. it's imperative that we're spending this time with the Father in a place of intimacy with our worship, with our prayer time, just loving on God and letting His love on us so that we'll be able to hear clearly from heaven, where we're shutting out the noise so that we could hear the sound of heaven. God, what are you saying? Lord, what is your will? What's your desire? Because I can sit down right now and I can write a vision. Oh, because I can write a vision. Because I can see big and I can think big and I can dream even bigger. But I don't want to create my vision. Lord, what is your vision? What is your dream? And then here, check this out. When you're in that place for God, when you're really in that place for God, and you're in that place of one accord in unity with Him, see, the word says, I give you the desires of your heart. In other words, I'll give you, I'll place the things in your heart pertaining to the vision to desire, so that way we really won't go wrong. And we can dream big, and we can vision big, because we know that they come from Him, and all of heaven is backing that up. All of heaven is going to back that up. And not only do we have to know the vision, we have to understand the vision. We really have to understand the vision. And understanding is key. It is key. The definition of understanding is to perceive the intended meaning of. Scripture says in Isaiah 43 and 19, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? So when we want to understand the vision, and how do you? God is always doing something new. God is not static. God's not static. God is always fresh. God is relevant. God is he's now. He's ever present. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes we forget that He's today. And so sometimes we get stuck in a past move. We get stuck in what God was doing yesterday, what God was doing 30 years ago. And we keep trying to do replicate what God did 30 years ago. And God said, I'm over here. I'm in 2016. I'm going into 2017. And you still stuck on 1982. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. We need to perceive what God is doing in the new. I heard a man of God say something. He said the reason why some movements, revivals and things like that have failed is because they didn't perceive when God began to turn and do a new thing. And we liked what He was doing then. And so we get addicted to what we like, and we like what we're addicted to. So we get stuck. We can't move past every Sunday we go to church just to jump, shout, dance around, pastor preaching, and we may not even have a real understanding of what he said, but girl, we had church. Man, didn't the Spirit move today? And we're stuck there. If you're in leadership, ask yourself, does what I'm doing today still look exactly identical to what I was doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Is what I'm doing today the same thing that my daddy was doing? Am I doing the same thing my granddaddy was doing? Am I singing the same songs? Am I playing the same records? Am I singing the same hymns? And that's not disparaging about any of the old songs, old hymns, because those songs are good. Those songs have their place. But heaven is releasing a new sound. Do we not perceive what that sound is? Because what heaven is releasing, we ought to be repeating. New wine, new wine, new wine. God is constantly releasing new wine, but are we shedding old wineskins? We can't afford to get stuck. We have to perceive what the Father is saying and doing now and run with it. Run with it. I challenge you. I dare you. As you're preparing for the new year coming in, as you're sitting before the Father, not looking at any other ministry, what they're doing, how they're doing it, not, you know, sometimes we get in that, I call it a genie syndrome, where we just wish it. Man, I wish our church could be like this. Man, I wish our church could do that. Man, I wish our youth group could go like that. Man, you see how many, you know, how many new converts they have. Man, I wish we could do that over here. Excuse me. I call that the genie syndrome. We're wishing what we could be doing. So we need to get out of that genie syndrome and stop wishing for something to happen. And we get in our positions on our face, get intimate with the Father, get in worship, get in prayer, get in that place, get in the Word and ask God, what does this look like for me? What does this look like for my house? And when I say house, I'm speaking to leaders who are over houses of worship, pastors and bishops and whatnot. What does it look like now? And help me to replicate and to repeat what it is that you're showing me for now. Because God has a right now move. God is not static. He's current. It's something about water. It's something about why the voice of God is like the sound, Revelation says, the sound of many waters. That's rushing water. That's like the sound of like the Niagara Falls. It's like the sound of a dam being opened and the water is coming out. It's like the sound of the ocean that's ever rolling. If you notice still water, a stagnant water, it becomes a cesspool. Because there's nothing flowing out of it. You don't hear anything moving in there. You know why? Because it's nothing that's producing life. It becomes a dead work. It's like the Dead Sea where nothing can live in there. It's not producing anything. And people that drink out of it, they're drinking toxicity. And so God's not stagnant. He's not static. He's always moving. He's flowing. He's moving. He's flowing. He's moving. We have to get in the flow. We can't afford to be afraid of breaking tradition. We can't afraid to be a forerunner. If you look in the New Testament, if you look in the New Covenant, Jesus was a forerunner. He came and he did things that they hadn't seen done before. He came releasing a sound they hadn't heard before. And look at this. The result of what he produced, the result of what he spoke and said, 2,000 and something years later, is still creating a fluid movement. It's still creating a fluid movement. There's a current that's still flowing. That can't be stopped. Not only is it still flowing, it's enlarging itself. It's growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And the church is being enlarged and it's growing and more people are getting saved. It's growing, it's growing, it's growing. Because he wasn't afraid to do what he heard the Father do. Because he said he don't even speak anything that he didn't hear from the Father. He only did what the Father told him to do. He wasn't worried about what the Pharisees did and the Sadducees and how they did it and sticking with tradition and we have this rote thing and this is how we do it. And we come in and we do three songs and then we sit down. We read five passages and we sit down. We preach for 1 hour and we sit down. We do an altar call and then we dismiss. He came in and did something different, but the different thing that he did was only what he heard the Father do. And look at what that erupted into. As a result, we're here today. Look at the disciples. They were forerunners. They weren't afraid to run with the vision that Jesus had imparted into them. They weren't afraid to break free. These were Jewish men. They weren't afraid to break free from tradition, to break free from religion and the confines and the barriers and the dead works that religion perpetually they were afraid to break out into freedom because they had an understanding that whom the Son set free was free indeed. And freedom looks good on you. Jesus came that we could have freedom, that we would have life and that more abundantly. When you're living in abundance, it means you're living in increase. It means the work of your labor, the work of your prayers. It means things are being increased, not stifled, not restricted, not confined, not bound, and not broken down. And it produces life and not another dead work. I don't even know how I got there from here. But we have to understand the vision. We have to perceive what the Father is doing now. I challenge you, as you go before the Father, ask him, what are we doing now, God? Lord, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? What is your heartbeat for humanity right now? What am I called to do right now? What does this look like for me? What is the vision? Make it plain. God is good at making stuff real plain. All we have to do is ask him. But a lot of times we don't want to ask God because we're afraid of what the answer will be because we like the answer we've already conjured up in our minds. We like the vision that we've already dreamed. And so sometimes we don't want to ask God about it because we're afraid that he's going to tell us it looks way different than that. Some of us are afraid that it's going to be bigger than what we've already perceived. And we're barely holding on to the horns of the altar of faith to believe God for this vision. Now, God, you're stretching me to believe for this. People are going to think I'm crazy. Oh, God, people, what are people going to say? How are they going to? They never believe this is going to come to pass. We're not responsible for what other people think. We're not responsible for what they say. We're responsible for obeying God. And here's what you do. Because there's safety in a multitude of counsel. So, and real vision, authentic vision requires accountability. Now, understand what I'm saying. Accountability, people that will hold your feet to the fire, that will tell you the truth in love. We don't surround ourselves with yes men that's going yes and amen every aspect of the vision, even though in their heart of hearts and in their spirit, they have the biggest check in that man. That's not anywhere close to being God. But I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to not like me and be mad, so I'm just going to say, well, yeah, I believe God with you. Come on now, we have to stop some stuff that we're doing. We can't surround ourselves with yes men. Jesus didn't surround himself with yes men. And he wasn't afraid of being questioned and answered. They were like, well, Jesus is like, well, Lord, what exactly does this mean? Now you got to break this down for me. He wasn't intimidated by that. He would break it down so that they could understand it, that they could perceive it, okay? But then we also have to question our circle of accountability, if every time we bring something to the table, it's killed, smashed, or squashed. We have to begin to ask why. Why is that? Because, you know, it's balanced. We have to have a balance in this thing. But authentic vision, it seeks out accountability. And it seeks out those that will pour in with love, with grace, and help. When you're surrounding yourself with vision, we have the Joseph who is like, I'm going to run and tell my brothers, my vision, had this dream out of vision. And they immediately wanted to kill the vision and then wanted to kill him. So we have to be wise in who we share our vision with. But we still need to be come under some accountability there. So we're not just radicals out here running solo, doing whatever we think we could do or should do and want to do in the name of the Lord. Now, God is really good about bringing correction and turning us around. He's really good at rerouting us and directing us. But sometimes that comes, we endure some things, not that it was God, you know, punishing in us, but it was God said, okay, well, you know, I want you over here, and you're running here, and I didn't want you to run that way because I saw that sticker on the ground, and you were going to run your foot over it, but you kept running. And so you got a sticker in your foot. You know, that was a consequence of your action. I didn't put the sticker there to punish you and say that's what you get for running off. It's like, no, don't run. So we have to, you know, sometimes we have to change our view of how God looks at us and perceives us. And so that we have a true understanding of how God perceives us and loves. But we have to open our, not be afraid to open up ourselves as leaders to have an accountability. We do have to be open to correction. We really do have to be open to correction, you know, and we get into that a lot, because if you're a leader and you out here and you have this mindset, okay, I'm just going to throw this out here for, you know, the sake of throwing it out here. If you're a male leader and you happen to be sleeping with 15 women in your church and you have a wife, okay, that's not the heart of God. And you can't come from a place of, well, God told me and this was the vision he gave me. No, you out of order. That was, it might have been a God telling you that, but it wasn't the God. You need to check what God that was. But it wasn't the true and living God. And when you don't open up yourself to accountability, that someone can pull your coattails and say, you know, bruh, something seems a little bit off here. You know, how can I come up under you and pray with you and to pray for you? How can we, you know, let's sit, let's break bread, let's bring this thing to the table here. Let's, you know, we have to be open to that so that we don't get way out there doing all kinds of anything. We have to have that in our lives. And then we have those that hold our feet to the fire, like, sis, what's going on with your vision? Come on now, let's go on. God's placed this in you. I'm for your success. What do I need to do to come under to help you to make this pass? You need me to pray for you? What is it that, you know, you need me to put my hands to the plow with you? How do we build this so that your vision is successful? Because God doesn't want us running solo. In understanding the vision, perceiving, we also perceive that there's no striving. We don't have to strive. Because when striving produces a bunch of fleshly stuff, we constantly trying to pull stuff together in pieces. We just trying to, you know, it's striving, it's work. But when we're in the flow of God, sometimes we just get in the current and ride with the heart of heaven. And it doesn't mean that it won't come without challenges, but what it means is that God will allow it to go the simple way. That we don't have to strive. We don't have to strive. We're not having to, it's no competition. It's like, I'm not looking at you and seeing what you build, so now I feel like I have to strive and I have to run hard and I have to do this so I can keep up. No, I'm running the pace that the Lord has called me to run. One thing that I was sharing with my son this morning is that when we know what we're called to do, when we know our vision, we get the vision, we have it, we understand it, we know it, we perceive it. It enables us to stay in our lane. It breaks us free of being intimidated by what anybody else is doing. We don't have to, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, and there's no, it brings us into, I want to say reality, for lack of a better word, because a lot of times, you know, we all want to have these large ministries. I mean, it feels good. It's nice to be able to look and say, man, I got 10,000, especially now in the age of social media. Man, I got 10,000 followers. Man, my ministry's blowing up. Man, I got 50,000 followers. Man, look at this. And we're mega-minded, mega-this, mega-this. But if it's not from the heart of the Father and it's not making authentic connections and making authentic changes, you just have a crowd. And so sometimes then that translates even into the physical. And we have this mindset like, oh, I want to be have a mega ministry. Boy, I'm going to do this. Man, my church, God showed me in a vision. I'm going to have 150,000 people in my church. And I salute that. If God showed you that, I celebrate with you. Because just like God showed Abraham the stars and the sand and said your descendants will be, even out, God is able to do anything. But if you live in a small town and y'all got 1,500 people in the town and 57 churches, where 150,000 people going to come from? And I'm not saying God won't do it, but I'm saying sometimes we get way like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get bigger than T.D. Jakes. I'm gonna be bigger than this person. I'm gonna be bigger than this person. And it's like you don't even live in a mega town. And that doesn't mean that God won't create a growth explosion just for you, because if that's what He showed you to do. But that's why we can't get caught up in stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have to be clear and know for certainty what He's called us to do now. And it's nothing wrong in dreaming big. It's not, I encourage everybody to dream big. But we also have to dream with God and in the concept of what it is that He wants to do and what He wants to do through us and in us. So we got to get a vision. We have to make that vision plain. That vision is plain. It's like, God, make the vision plain. Because if it's plain to me, I can make it plain to others. And he that reads it will run, can run with it. So that the reader can run with it. Can run with it. So when I see your vision, people follow vision. People run from discord. And they run from chaos. And they run from when things are unorganized, they run from things that are out of order. And have you ever went to a church and it seemed like it's popping and they got all the people, they got the, but something is like, something's not quite right here. And it's like, have you ever been involved in a ministry, anything like that? Well, you just go into church, you don't even know what the ministry, what is the vision of the ministry? Where are you taking us? What are we doing? Are you just hoarding us up so that you have a whole bunch of people? Or are you here to equip us, as it tells us in Ephesians, to equip the saints and perfecting of the body? What is the vision of the ministry? When people see vision, they run with it. If I know where you're going and I'm clear on where you want to take me, I'll pick up the baton and I'll run with you the distance. I'll run with you the entire way. But if I feel like I'm just running to be jogging, I'm out here like Forrest Gump. Some of y'all, most of y'all should know what Forrest Gump is. And one day he got up and said, I feel like running. So he just got up and started running and ran from one side of the United States to the other. He didn't have a vision. He just wanted to run. People were following him, masses, masses, masses. He gets to the end of the thing, and they said, why'd you do it, Forrest? What would you run? He said, I don't know. One day I just got up and felt like running and had all these people running too. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what the end result was hoping to be. Where are you taking people? Where is your vision leading people? So when they read it, they can pick it up and they can run with it. Where are you going and where are you taking them? Get the vision. Get the vision and make it plain. And make it plain. And then we can get discouraged at times. Because it feels like, well, God, you gave me this vision, and I really believe it's from you, and I got confirmation, and, you know, and it's been supported out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. It's, you know, it's biblically sound. It doesn't go against the grain of Scripture. And I really feel like this is your heartbeat for my life, but I don't see what's happening right now. Well, Scripture tells us, though it tarries, wait for it. when you have a vision, you got to get the, you got to get understanding. This is in the getting, having, knowing, and understanding. God, what is your timing? When is your timing? Is this for now? Is this for 2018? Is this for 2020? Lord, when is the timing of this? Because I want to be in your timing. Because sometimes God will give us vision, and it speaks to the future. But if we don't understand, and we don't perceive, if we don't know, if we don't discern, we can easily think it's for right now. It's for right now. And then we're disappointed, we're disillusioned, and we don't understand why God hasn't brought this thing to pass. A lot of times you'll see this, even I'm going to throw this out here, and singles that are waiting for a mate, and it's like, God, you promised me a husband. I've heard confirmation that God's sending me a husband, a mate, a man. You're sending me a helpmate. You say, God, where is my wife? And it's like, are we going through church like, is she the one? Is this one? And we begin to look at every person that walks through the doors of the church as a potential spouse rather than as a brother or sister in Christ. And we don't have the timing. And God's not afraid to tell you, I have someone for you, but it's not till further down the road. It could be 3 years. It could be, though the vision tarries, wait for it. Because God takes no delight in our suffering. He takes no delight in our suffering. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And God's not some masochistic, sadistic God who takes delight in seeing his children suffer. If you have kids, you may have played the game where you have a piece of candy in your hand and you hold it out to them and they come running to you, and when they get there, you snatch it away and take it back. And it's like, and it's a game, and you do, and it's like, or it's like the little carrot in front of the donkey that's leading you, like, follow the carrot, follow the carrot, follow the carrot. And just when you think you're close enough to get a bite of the promise, he snatches us up. God doesn't do that. All of his promises are yes and amen. And I want you all to read that scripture, because it's yes in him, but the amen comes from us when we come into agreement with Christ Jesus through the amen. But God's not, he doesn't torture us. He longs to give us the desires of our heart. That's why it's important to know the timing of the vision. God, you promised me that about this ministry. You promised me about this vision, but it hasn't happened yet. And don't despise the process, because God is building you. He's making you in the journey, and he's weaving everything that you're going through in the process. He's weaving it together, and at the end, it's going to be like a beautiful hand-woven quilt that's going to tell the story of your life, and you'll have a testimony. And you'll be able to look back at this pattern and see every area where God was with you along the way, even when it felt like he had forgotten about the vision he told you to hold on to. And you'll say, oh, I see what you were doing there. Okay, I see what you did there. God, how you threaded this thing together is amazing. Look at the beautiful end result. Don't despise the process. Though it tarry, wait for it. Don't get discouraged. And that's not to say discouragement won't come. But when it comes, we have to be like David, and we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage ourselves that God is not a man that he should lie, and he's not the son of man that he will repent of his word. If God promised it, he has a timeline that he's bringing it to pass, because he loves us. He is not an abusive father. He doesn't torture us. He doesn't torment us. He's like, everything I promised you, I want you to have. When my kids were young, when they were born, boy, their dad had huge dreams for them. And he's like, man, and the day's coming. And, you know, when they little and they want to drive the car and all of that, he'd be like, one day, Daddy, I'm going to buy you a car. What kind of car you want? My son, he wants a 64-and-a-half Mustang. You know, my other son, and he wants a particular type of car. And my girls, you know, they want particular types of cars as well. And it's like their dad was like, he would have given anything to bless his children with the desires of their hearts. And he would go down the street and he would see Jesus. He said, Jordan, there go your car. Reggie, there's your truck. Jared, that's your little kind. Chelsea, that's your little bug that you like. At that time, she was crazy about those VW Beetles, and baby blue was her favorite color. Chelsea, there's your little bug. And he would have given anything within his power to give his children those things that they desired. But our kids were 4, 8, 4, 6, 8, 10, 6, 8, 10, 12. They didn't have a license to drive. They weren't authorized by the state to operate a vehicle. What would he have looked like to put some keys and 12,000 pounds of lead or metal in the hands of somebody who wasn't ready to drive? His promises were good, but they weren't even able to receive or hold, retain the promises. They would have wrecked the car. They could have killed themselves and 50 other people in the process of trying to drive a car at the age of 8, 9, 10, or 12. They weren't mature enough to handle it, but they had a promise to hold on to, that my dad is a good father and he loves me and he keeps his word. And he's not hiding a car in the garage or in the back of the house under a sheet to just make me suffer and to make my heart break because I can't have a car right now. He's going to release the promise in due time when I'm able to handle it. Though the vision waits, though the vision tarries, wait on it. Don't despise the process. Keep going. Keep growing. Keep allowing God to stretch you. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming big with God. Get the vision. Have the vision. Know the vision. Understand the vision. And if it tarries, wait for it. Because if it's of God, surely he's going to bring it to pass. Amen. Minister Sophie.
Amen. That was deep. And she actually had her messages ready this time. But that was deep. And we thank you, Pastor Tony. Dr. Tony Robinson, and she's well deserving of that title, but she's never been big on titles, so when I call her Tony, that's who she is. She's just Tony Robinson. But getting back to it, the vision, wait for it, and I remember when love first started. Well, actually, the vision originally started with a different ministry, but I won't go there. But the vision was the vision was not to just stay within the four walls of the ministry, but to go beyond. To go beyond the walls, you know, because we started as a house-to-house ministry, and, you know, just 3-4 ladies. Well, the first meeting was 6 ladies, you know, and we were just having prayer, and I was just doing a homework assignment, and I was going to get on the train the next day and go home, and that night, the Lord's like, that's not all there is to this. You know, you need to be doing more. And so we're doing a house-to-house ministry, and then we invite Pastor Tony Robbins to soon to come. And she comes, and here comes the Lord, enlarging my territory. Her And she prophesied that the ministry is not just going to stay within the four walls. Here's the vision being manifested, y'all, if you didn't catch it. She goes, this ministry is not going to stay within the four walls of this house, but it's going to go beyond the borders, and it has. But it was God. God wrote the vision. God made it plain, and here we are 5 years later. We've been to Africa 3 times, and I'm always thinking, oh, God, I'm going to get to go back to this particular country or state, because Africa's got many states and many countries in it. So y'all think the United States is big. Oh, the United States can fit within one of the states in Africa. That's just how big Africa is. But God was just enlarging the territory, and but no, I'm not going to go. I don't go out there. God blessed me to put a school in Zambia. God blessed me to do this. No, because it's God's vision. It's not what I did. It's what God is doing. And I don't need to broadcast everything that God's doing. Our long story short, when she said that God gives us the vision and we have to run with God's vision in order for any ministry to prosper, it has to be go with God's vision. And all I can do is say amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Tony Robinson. I really appreciate you taking time. I know you got to probably take a nap before you hit the road, or I don't know if your bags are packed already. But I want to thank you for taking the time. You probably got the car all loaded up, waiting for me to get off.
You are welcome. Actually, we're not. We're staying here. We're not going. We probably won't go this evening, and so we have a little bit of time. So before we just did a quick change of plans. But I thank you for being here, and I pray that this word has challenged some people. Because if the word doesn't challenge you, without challenge, you can't grow. I pray that it offended some people. And the reason why I pray it offends you, because if it offends you, you have to stop and ask God, well, why did that offend me? Why did it strike a chord? And why did it strike a nerve? Because if it offends you, the area that it offends you in is more than likely the area that God is putting his finger on to bring change to your vision. I hope that it encourages some people that have been discouraged because the vision has seemingly tarried, but now they have understanding that God is still moving and is still in his time. And I'm praying for pastors. Lord Jesus, help me right now. Sorry, you know Sophie is like Minister Sophie. But I'm praying for pastors who have been discouraged. You have been suffering from sheep. What did we say? The sheep bites and goat butt. It seems like the people just continually bumping and biting. But I want to encourage you to hold fast to the vision that the Lord has given you. Though it tarries, it will come. And go in and sit before the presence of the God, before the living God, because he's going to pour in some refreshing. This is a time of refreshing for you. Because somebody's about to give up. I literally hear like towels dropping in the spirit where people just like, forget it, I'm done. I'm not doing this no more. It's over. The people, they won't do it. It's not gelling. It's not working. But what God has given you to do, he that began a good work is also faithful to complete it. He will bring it to complete it in. You can trust him with the vision. And don't be afraid to release the vision and lay it back at his feet, because that's really, for some of you, what he's saying is bring the baby back to me. If you have a baby and you take it home from the hospital and all of a sudden the baby is like not doing what a normal baby should do, spitting up, is crying, is kicking, is having fits, bring the baby back to the doctor. Bring it back to the place you got it so that they can examine it. And they can administer whatever medicine are the antidote that the baby needs. So it brings peace to the baby and wholeness to the body. Don't be afraid to lay it back at the foot of the Father who gave you the vision so he can give you the antidote and pour in what you need to make the baby whole. So I want to encourage you all. I just want to leave with that, Sylvia. I want to encourage them. I want to challenge them because this is a time and opportunity for us to grow like we never grown before. God is expanding so many opportunities for us to grow in leaders. And if we grow as leaders, the people will grow. There you go. So thank you, Minister Sophie, for having us. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I have a little cough going on. I really apologize. We're always honored. We're always blessed. And I'm just excited for what the next 2 years is bringing for you personally, for this ministry, to watch the continued growth and, you know, expansion and what God does. It's going to be beautiful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we just going to leave that right there. So I feel this is a fitting place for us to get out of here. The conference wraps up, the conference revival anniversary, whatever you want to call it, wraps up tomorrow night at 6:30. Pastor Diane Williams will be in the house, and she will be bringing the word. We're going to have some awesome singing. Pastor Linda will be testifying. And so y'all don't want to miss it. We want you to, before Pastor Tony closes us out in prayer, we want you to remember that Jesus loves you. And we do, too. If you would like to know any more about Love International Women's Ministry and conference speaking, find us on Facebook. We have a GoFundMe page, too, and right now it's listed as Reach 2017. But find us on Facebook. You can either read about it or inbox me about on the ministry page, and I'll be happy to tell you about it. But anyway, we are out. Pastor Tony, close us out in prayer. Please.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity and the time, Father God, to just share and connect hearts. Father God, I thank you for every ministry, every leader, every person in general who has heard and who will hear the archived message of this. And we just release heaven over them. We release your love. We just release grace and outpouring, Father God, more of your heart, more of your heart, that they will be strengthened, that they will be encouraged. Father God, that they will grow, that they will blossom, that you will bring them into their greater. Father, we love you. I just thank you. We again bless Minister Sophie, and we just declare that your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And again, thank you, everyone that has been listening. You have been listening live. No, I'm just kidding. We're out of here. We'll see y'all tomorrow. God bless. And thank you again, Pastor Tony. Love you.
I love you too. Have a good day.